everyone, and welcome to another episode of Mixed Coffee. We are Allie,
Leslie,
and
Judy.
Yay, Judy!
Wow, back. I'm back.
Yay, we are so excited.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I was on my sabbatical, and now I'm back. It's good to be rested.
We missed you. What'd you do during your sabbatical?
A lot of things. It was not a very restful sabbatical. What have I been up to? I've been preparing for two shows. I've been working. Wow. I've been trying to stay in touch with people. Going to church, obviously, doing all the fun stuff, but and trying to stay on top of writing. It's been a busy few months.
And we have eagerly followed along on your socials.
Yes.
Mostly I see you eat food, but I know you're doing other things.
But you are eating food. That is true. I do eat food. I am eating food. Thank God.
As one is supposed to.
Yes, as one should, as a human being.
Food is important and very delicious. So yeah, today we have another conversation. Leslie picked out the conversation today and the topic.
I did.
So tell us about it.
Okay, so we're going to discuss our experiences with COVID-19. And before you scoff and say like, oh, but that was forever ago. It did begin more than 3 years ago, but
it's
important to record. It was 3 years ago. But yeah, it seems so far away. But I mean, it's still around. People still get it. I just got it a few months ago. For the first time. So
it started 3 years ago.
Right.
Impact.
For the first time? Remains.
Yeah, for the first time I got it.
I didn't know it was for the first time.
Mm.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was just really.
How was that?
It was nothing. Like, I didn't really feel like I was sick.
It was like
at
the
all.
Last wave, right?
I guess so. Mm-hmm. I think I didn't really feel sick, but I'm like, I don't know. I feel kind of tired these days. I guess I take a COVID test and it was positive. So I was like, okay, I guess I should stay in my room. And so I did that for about a week and I tested every day and I was still positive. And I'm like, but I feel fine. So I even like, because I'm an anxious person, I was like, I'm going to do what I need to do and, you know, wear a mask even in my house and just because I don't want my parents to get sick. And I didn't even let my cat in the room. She was very upset. So, oh well, it's over now. But anyway, we are going to record our experiences about this unique time before that kind of discussion really becomes outdated. And it's also important to work through the experience for us individually. And we're glad that you, our listener, have joined Mixed Coffee for such a discussion. So before we begin, I'd like to continue Allie's intro idea from the last time. If you remember, we were talking with Abby and we decided to introduce things that have inspired us recently. So I really enjoyed that. And I thought, Judy, if you would like to begin, what is something that's inspired you recently?
Oh, this is normally kind of a hard question because I feel like inspirations come to me like so sporadically and randomly. But actually, just yesterday, I was inspired by something, or I guess someone. It's actually someone you guys know. It's Abby.
Oh, Abby is very inspirational. Yeah.
She is. And actually, I don't know if you guys have seen, I know she was on the last episode, but you guys know, like, she has, like, an art account on Instagram.
Yep.
And I was talking to her about it, and she was talking to me about her artwork, like, kind of how she feels a little bit lost in terms of direction, like, where she wants to go. Mm-hmm. And it turned into, like, a conversation about, like, nowadays in the fine art world, like, she can either go kind of more commercial or fine art, but it inspired me because writing the novel that I'm currently working on is kind of all about this conflict between, like, the world and generation of technology versus art. And it's because the main character, his kind of main struggle is, like, he's trying to stay true to what his fixed idea of art is versus, like, this changing generation. And it's something that, like, really, like, I think about a lot too, because, you know, as someone, like, I really wanted to go into, like, film and cinema, but now it's like there's so much other kinds of, like, just video content or just content itself out there. There's, like, YouTube, there's TikTok, there's, like, Reels and Shorts. But now I think about, like, but when I think about actually, like, going into those things, it makes me feel like Does that mean I'm like kind of giving up on, something that I dreamed about? Or like I think there's always like a bit of a stigma against like newer forms of content, and as to whether like is content itself, like is that art? Is something that's always like shifting and going along with the tides? Is that what art is in our generation? I guess that's a question I always had. So it's something I wanted to explore. So I was really glad to like have a conversation that kind of touched on that in reality. But yeah, it's really random. But
I mean, mine sounds a lot baser compared to yours.
that's okay. It was very, I don't usually have inspirations like this.
Allie?
For me, there is this one account on YouTube, and she's on Instagram too. But she's a barista, and I really love coffee. So I've been starting to watch her videos on YouTube and following her Instagram account. And she obviously posts a lot about coffee. And as a coffee lover, I've never actually tapped into this area very specifically, but it really inspired me to learn more about coffee. Not just, oh, I'm drinking coffee, I'm going to Starbucks or stuff like that. Because I still love to go to cafes and they're pretty and they have a certain atmosphere, but I want to learn how to enjoy coffee and for its different taste according to its origin, its roasting, and so on. So it really inspired me about that. And so the outcomes so far are I bought a secondhand espresso machine, which is not the best espresso machine, but I just bought it so I can learn. Latte art is currently a work in progress. It's pretty hard to froth the milk properly. Since I don't have like a very good frothing, I don't know how you call that, I forgot. Anyway, frother,
Frother.
yeah.
Frothing.
So I've been working on that,
Anyway.
but I've tried to make an Einspänner, and
Ooh.
I kind of did it. I still have to work on that cream, but I'm really proud of myself. And I also bought a book about coffee. It was so random again, and it talks about brewing techniques and where coffee is from, and yeah. That account was my inspiration.
Yeah, coffee is more complicated than I ever imagined.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
know.
It's hard making good coffee.
Let's see. Recently, I've been watching a playthrough of Final Fantasy 16, which is the newest Final Fantasy game.
Oh.
I'm not a gamer, but I really enjoy the pacing of, like, what are they called? RPGs, role-playing games. I love a good story and I love the slowness that games provide. So it's not just like action, 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 action. It's like we're talking slowly now. And then you fight a little bit, so you have like an hour to think about what just happened. And then they have another cutscene. Like it's just very, and it's beautiful. It's a really good story. It's really fun. And it's a lot, excuse me, it's a lot cheaper than buying the system in the game to just like watch it on YouTube. So I've been enjoying that every single night while I work out. It's been great.
Wow.
Okay, I think I'm gonna keep trotting along with our questions. So thank you for sharing what inspired you. I hope our listeners can also find something that inspired them. And moving into our first question, have either of you ever recorded your experiences with COVID in some form of like writing or like photos or something?
Funny enough, yes.
Yeah?
Not while I was sick, of course, because when you're sick, you don't do anything. But while I was in quarantine, like the mandatory quarantine in Korea, when I came the second time in 2020, it was full COVID, and it was the 2 week quarantine. And I filmed it at the time I was still in my master doing my master's degree, and we had at least still have right now a YouTube account, and so I made a vlog in two parts. About my quarantine experience. It's not very eventful. I just studied, read, watched stuff on my laptop, made coffee, and ate.
It's like a normal day for me.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, so if you want to look for it, I'm there.
Vlogging, yeah, vlogging was not really for me, but I do think I made a video, a YouTube video about, I don't know if it was about quarantine, But it was kind of more to do with just like the feeling of being like trapped at, inside. And it was more along the lines of post-grad depression, which kind of came alongside quarantine, because I graduated right when quarantine, well, not quarantine, right when COVID happened. So it was very like a, yeah, it was kind of like a world turned upside down in terms of like I just graduated, but and then I got a new job, and then COVID happened, and then everything just kind of changed. And then I came here to Korea, and things changed even more. I also start when I came moved back to Korea, I started writing something that was more autobiographical, kind of like narrative of my life. And the second half of it was going to take place in Korea, and it was going to be kind of and I was actually going to incorporate COVID, because I mean, it actually happened, and it is kind of, I guess, nonfiction. And I haven't actually like seen a work of fiction yet. I mean, obviously, like, because it's so recent, but like I do think eventually people will start making some kinds of fiction that does include COVID, because it did have such an impact, and it could be part of like a story.
There is a newish drama from Korea that the English name is Bloodhounds, and it is during the time of COVID. That's when it's based. It's not just about COVID though, but it like incorporates it. I appreciate that because I remember when COVID began and it was this huge force, permeated your thoughts every day for a while. And when I would watch new dramas that were filmed during COVID, they were filmed as if COVID wasn't there. And that felt really weird to me, I guess, when I see
Yeah,
dramas or
a lot of them did that.
a lot of them did that.
Yeah.
And I understand because probably during another time when COVID is not really prevalent in our lives anymore, people can watch it and they don't really want to be reminded of it, or they can just enjoy the story as it was supposed to be. But I felt kind of like this dissonance of like sometimes I think when I see a drama or a television show, which is the same thing, but or fiction, I want to imagine it happening at the same time that my life is happening. But it seemed like there was this huge dissonance, like they were in an alternate universe where COVID wasn't a thing. It was just like a little weird. And
It really
so
was.
it was just a strange experience, I guess. But so I appreciate the ones that come out now and they're like, anyway, COVID was a thing. And here's a story kind of that actually utilizes it.
The Good Doctor American version, they did have a one or two episodes about COVID, and it was dedicated to all the doctors, nurses, and all the medical staff that was working for during COVID. And I remember reading this book, and it mentions the start of COVID.
What's the book's name? It's
Oh
called
yeah.
Pyonicham, and it doesn't start during COVID, but it kind of transitions. And by the end of the book, it's that winter when it all started.
I really like that book. And yes, it does talk about COVID.
I want to read it, but do you know how hard it is to get Korean language books, even online, when you're not in Korea? Oh.
You know what you can do?
What can I do?
You can come here and I can borrow you to.
Yeah, because you are coming.
I am coming, that's true. Just two, well, 1.5 more months. Woo-hoo!
So excited!
Right, so I have another kind of like question that's more in the artistic realm, since I asked if you've recorded your experience in some artistic way. I would like you to kind of close your eyes, because I'm curious, and think of an image that reflects your understanding, your experience with the pandemic, and we'll like just think about it for a minute, and then I want to know what you guys are picturing, if that's cool with you.
I don't know if I can come up with a picture, but I'm gonna try.
You know what? I
I
appreciate the
will also
effort.
try, please.
We'll do just the 30 seconds then, okay? And go. Right, it's been 30 seconds. All right, I'll start. Just because I am the one who made you do it, so I'll t do it first. I guess I just think of like when I was passing through Sinsan, where I used to live. Like there were many people around, and I remember that I looked in a window, and it was like an empty cafe, and the sajangnim was just they were like polishing glasses or something, just like sitting in a chair. But it was really early in the evening. But that's the image that comes to mind of like that experience of I don't know what the person was feeling or anything, but it seems like this is probably because of COVID. Like it shouldn't be 8 p.m. in Sinchon and it be empty. So that's what I was thinking of. What were you guys thinking of?
I don't think I thought of a specific moment or something that I saw, but and I don't know if I'm influenced by what I have in front of mine right now, but I, which is photos and stickers and post-its on the wall. So I saw, you know how you put post-it or on the wall or something, and then it kind of naturally sticks out at a point, like it has a curve. So I saw like an empty wall with a blank paper stuck like that on the wall. Oh. That's what I saw. I do remember that when COVID came, where I was back home, I was living alone and everything kind of shut down. So I guess it kind of represents how I was just me, myself, and I, and my dog at home.
Thank you.
What about you, Judy?
I saw like a big window with a lot of sunlight. Because I lived in 3 different houses during COVID, and all the places I lived had a lot of sunlight. Especially the first place I was living in, I was living alone in an apartment, but there was a lot of sunlight through the window, and the house where I live now also gets a lot of sunlight. And my second place didn't get as much direct sunlight, but I knew it was sunny outside because that was just always the weather. And I was for the first half of COVID, I was in California, and there was like a big sense of like dissonance because I was always, most of the time, like when I was at home, I was always alone. And especially during the first like few months of COVID, when I was in quarantine, like I was just in that place alone all the time, but it was always sunny and I was working from home alone too. And so there was just like a big, I guess it just felt kind of strange. Because I'm not the kind of person who like spends a day at home alone if it's like nice outside. And I felt like there's like a big gap between the weather and the space and the environment and like how I was feeling and like what was going on in the world. Like it was so calm and peaceful and sunny, but it was like chaotic outside.
That was really cool for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on. So it seems like you both, and me as well, have been were in more than one country during the time of COVID. Like you began one place, you ended up another. Can you speak about like some how that felt for you to kind of move between countries? Either you can talk about differences and like the way the countries seem to handle COVID, or how like it felt to you to be away from friends and family at some points. Like what were some of your feelings?
I guess when I was home, and that's where it hit me, I was living alone already, so it wasn't such a big deal not being home with my parents. I guess a lot of people move back in with their parents, but I didn't for some reason. I was still living alone for a good 8 months, I guess, until I came to Korea for a semester. Parents, but I had my dog with me, so I don't feel alone, so that helped. I remember coming to Korea, I felt safer because people here are more used to wearing masks, and everybody was wearing their masks, and it was the sanitary department was doing very well here. And I guess there was more of a system here for this kind of thing. And back home, hospitals were overwhelmed. And they still are, in a way. And there wasn't a really, really good system, at least in the beginning. I remember, I don't remember if it was 2020 or the year after that, there was a group of people trying to translate and put together after the Korean system that they they had, like the governmental issue that they had. I don't know how that's called anyway. So yeah. I remember them learning from Korea, but not from the beginning. So it was chaotic in the beginning, and a lot of people, and it was weird to see all those numbers and get used to seeing numbers, but then you stop and think that they're all people. And I remember imagining myself like 100 people. How would I visualize 100 people? And I visualize, I don't know, like busking in 100 people and be like, oh my God, all those people, imagine them dead now. Or 1,000 people, imagine like a concert and stuff like that. So that I don't get desensitized to that number. But I remember this very big difference between the two countries in terms of organizing themselves.
So masking, was it also a controversy in your own country?
Yeah, people were like, why should I wear a mask? I can't breathe and stuff like that. And they wouldn't wear it, and it's not like you can do anything about it, because even if you tell them, it's not like you can put the mask on for them, right? So it was kind of a big issue, as at least for people who understood this the seriousness of the situation and the need for a mask. I remember the adversity towards Asians in my country when this all began. Like in my country with Asians, I know someone who was screamed at on the street. It wasn't very nice.
Dang.
Bad words. I was I so yeah, it was pretty nasty in the beginning because people don't really understand and dissociate the pandemic and people, right? So yeah, and here when I came, it wasn't like screamed out or anything, but it's just danger, I guess. They sense the danger that I'm coming from the outside.
I remember I was always very aware, and I don't think it's because I had a particular experience of anyone in Korea pointing fingers at me, but I remember just feeling guilty or aware and thinking that other people might see me and be like, oh, maybe she's a foreigner, and so maybe she just came off the
Right,
airplane, and
right.
maybe like I was always projecting this onto other people, so it made me more fearful and more like ashamed just for being out in public, because it's like my the idea that, oh, I know I look foreign, even if I've been here for a year and I haven't left the country during that time, I know that other people might not assume that right away, but that I know that's me projecting. But that fear of like, oh, because I'm foreign, maybe people are going to look at me differently in this context.
But I think it was also because while I was here in 2020, and then when I came in 2021 to move here, to live here, I remember them separating the foreigners and the nationals, right? So that was also a very big thing into like, oh my God, I'm a foreigner. They'll think of me as a number as well because I'm in that category. I'm not Korean.
I remember I was in the States when COVID first started. I think there was a lot of panic, a lot of amplified panic too on social media. And a lot of stuff, other stuff that had kind of happened around the same time, like Black Lives Matter and like Asian hate crime. Like all that just sort of happened in the same span. So it like whenever I went on social media, like it felt like the world was just like falling apart. I guess when I came to Korea, it had sort of died down a lot because it had already been like over a year. So it felt much calmer, but definitely a lot more empty, like Leslie said.
Like the streets or public spaces.
There was a lot of difference. I came in 2019 in July in Korea. It was summer, everybody was out, and I remember when I came in 2020 and in the fall, it was empty. It was nothing like I imagined before. And even at home, because I had my dog, so people were allowed to walk their dogs even during quarantine. So at least I could go outside and walk my dog, but I could feel the difference, even in my small neighborhood, not in the middle of the city or a very busy neighborhood, but it was empty. It was so weird.
I missed all of COVID in my hometown. I did not experience pretty much any of that directly because when COVID began, it was only thought to be in Asia during February of 2020. And so people were worried about me because that's when I was going to return to Korea to continue my master's. And people were like, "Are you okay, Leslie? Are you sure?" And so I went back to Korea, and then a couple of weeks later, they're like, "Oh, it's here in the US too." And so that's when everything like blew up. But all during that time, I was just in Korea, and so I was seeing all of this happen and seeing all my friends' Facebook posts or Instagram posts from afar. And so it was really odd for me to kind of just see it happening from afar. And also because I couldn't speak to people directly, it sort of all had this political tone to it, because masking became political and like social distancing was political. And then how our leaders were handling it is all political. And this, so like, to me, I guess I got a more negative view of my country during that time, just because all I had was news and then just some hearsay from my family. So it's good to be back home and kind of like repair that distance that was created, but it was really odd to just be in Korea during that time, and see everything from afar.
Yeah, it was very political in the US.
Yeah. Anyway, here's another question. So Korea's approach to COVID restrictions involved intensified surveillance, which included public alerts about individuals in the area who became sick. Also an app that tracked you during quarantine. I experienced that. And the requirement to use, excuse me, a QR code to enter restaurants, cafes, and other public establishments. So do you have other measures that came to mind, or do you have any thoughts you'd like to share about these restrictions and about the surveillance that happened?
It was a bit weird knowing that everybody would know where I was. It was a bit bothersome to get those QR codes.
And the QR code, for anyone who doesn't know, is like the, it proved that you've been vaccinated. Once or twice, depending on what time it was, but yeah, it proves that you were vaccinated, you can come inside.
Yeah, so there were a few issues with that QR code. First of all, there were some people who were afraid of their personal information being leaked, and you know, just you know, security reasons. Second of all, there are people who didn't want to get vaccinated, so they couldn't get a QR code, so they couldn't go to a lot of places in the beginning. And third, there are foreigners like me who couldn't get the QR code. So in the beginning, it was really tough to go outside because you couldn't do anything. You couldn't go to a cafe, you couldn't go to a restaurant, or some other businesses weren't allowing people if they didn't have a QR code. So it was pretty bad. You could go to supermarkets, thankfully, so I could get food. But other than that, it was pretty complicated.
There were a lot of things you couldn't do. A lot of things you couldn't do if you weren't vaccinated. To like a certain level. Like it wasn't just like, oh, were you vaccinated at all? It was like, were you vaccinated once or twice?
And also I was vaccinated in my country, and when I came here it took a few months for them to begin to accept foreign vaccines.
I remember I convinced them somehow. I got vaccinated first in Korea, and then I had to go to the US, but it was really easy to convince the pharmacy in the US that I was already vaccinated once. I just said like, oh, I was vaccinated overseas. They're like, oh, all right. They just like punched my card. They just like, trusted me. But then they gave me the second vaccination. But when I went back to Korea, it was a huge hullabaloo trying to prove to them that yes, I got my second vaccination when I was abroad, and I don't need to complete this quarantine that you say I do because I was vaccinated. So I was trying to like convince them. Eventually I convinced them, and I got a few days slashed off my quarantine. But anyway, I think I just wanted to prove I could do it. I was like, I want to prove that, like, I got vaccinated, and then I can like convey that information to them. How does social distancing affect your daily lives? Can you talk about either specific experiences or some emotions from that time of social distancing?
Oh, I did not like it.
I kind of half and half liked it and don't like it. Being an introvert and all.
I did not like the rules, and I did not like being forced to not see people. And then having like such odd, like each place had different rules in terms, especially in terms of like different numbers. And it was like, if you reached a certain number, then you couldn't see each other.
There was one point, I think, where more than two people weren't allowed to gather or something.
Yeah.
And that was, I'm such a rule follower. I'm an Enneagram. So I'm like a rule follower. So even if it's like, oh, they can't see you, you're in your house, I'd be like, but I can't. I have to follow the rules. So that was really hard for me emotionally. Like COVID was hard mostly because of the rules, like feeling like I needed to follow everything because I would kill somebody if I didn't. Like I felt so scared that I was going to spread COVID to somebody. Or like I would get sick and then my parents would worry. Like I had all this guilt about COVID, and I isolated myself more than I should have. So I'm still trying to work through work through all the bad that brought to my life. Yeah.
I don't think I felt guilty unless, you know, I knew that something I did specifically made someone sick, but that didn't usually happen. I felt more frustrated, but I don't think I'm like a rule follower like you, Leslie. I think I'm just scared of getting caught. I don't like the consequences. I think I stuck to most of the rules.
I won't tell anyone except we are making this a public podcast, so.
I don't remember.
If you did anything, say it now.
But there were definitely times, there were even times with like church people where we tried to like bend the rules. You know that cafe with like the bunch of seats?
Yeah, I remember it.
We would always go to that cafe in college group because it was the only place that would fit all of us, and where like they wouldn't tell us to leave because they didn't care.
Because it was a big group, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And like the people working at the cafe, because it was like a cafe within like a store, like the people working there, they're just not interested.
And it was weird to split people up because you had those plastic separators where you couldn't at the same table. It was weird because you couldn't really communicate with each other.
I didn't like those either.
I remember I went to a restaurant once where they like had a sign that said don't talk to each other, and like you were supposed to go in and like just not say as much, like only speak as little as possible. And so I was with a friend, we were just like silently eating, and I would say something and look around furtively, like, but like, does anyone hear me? Like, I was so afraid of breaking the rules. And so
but it was like weird. It was so funny once, I remember, because it was in 2020 when I came, the summer before, it was pretty chill, so there wasn't really a lot of cases, everybody was okay. And then I came in fall and everything went bad, and I remember this one news about a McDonald's somewhere in Seoul, I don't know, and people were sitting in the AC area, and then because of that, it was spread everywhere in the McDonald's. I think it was a McDonald's, I don't remember, but I thought it was pretty funny. It was when it wasn't a lot of like cases, so people were pretty well at least covering where it came from. So I guess
McDonald's is a dangerous place, you know.
I don't know, either McDonald's or Starbucks, one of the franchises.
That's right. Starbucks also, that it got in the news a lot about, I don't know, people getting sick from Starbucks for COVID. And I remember churches as well. Like, I became so scared of churches, and I didn't go physically for over a year because you couldn't for a while. But
yeah, that's true.
I would get frustrated, actually. Like, if I was part of a church for a while where the pastor kept asking, he's like, it's fine, guys. There's just, like, you just keep coming back. And I'm like, no. Because my mindset was so different from this pastor's, and so I stopped going to that church. And I feel like, was that right? I guess it was fine, but like when it's online, all you have is the message, like you don't have the community anymore,
right?
And so I was like, I can't, I mean, we're just so different in our approach to this, I don't think I can continue. And so church became really hard for me, and it wasn't until beginning of 2020 that I went to Jubilee for the first time, because I was just so lonely. I was like, I just need people, like Christian friends. So but that, it scared me so much because there's so many people there, and it freaked me out. Even in 2022, I was still like really freaked out. So but I'm glad I went, because I met you guys.
Me too. We've
gotten even more people now.
Oh, good, great, wonderful.
Yeah,
there's new people every week. I think I met a few people during the game night.
Oh, meeting new people every week.
Every week.
Oh, yeah.
Especially now that there's no life groups and everybody can hang out with everybody, so.
Oh, I would just run away after the sermon. Like, okay, bye, guys.
I don't want to make you not come to church, but it's a change.
It is.
But I also wanted to add, because if we're talking about churches, we cannot talk about how a lot of pastors have had this ideology where COVID was either political or demonic. So what do you think about that?
I mean, I think even Jubilee talked about it as like spiritual warfare a little bit. COVID changed a lot of things for churches and for, you know, anything where people were organized and gathered.
There's also, I kind of think of it as a temptation, but sort of it's in the structure of Christianity where you want to explain kind of everything in religious terms that's going on in the world. And I think pastors feel pressure to do that in their sermons too. Like the congregants are kind of like, explain this to us, tell us. But I heard pastors trying to explain it as either something demonic or God's judgment or they were saying like, if you had enough faith, you don't have to wear a mask. That was really popular in the US. Like you're not trusting God enough if you're trying to take measures. And so people put all, I mean, if you're religious, it's very natural to put anything that happens to you in religious terms. But I started to feel like, oh, this could be like, if you say it's God's judgment and then someone, you know, gets COVID, you might then judge them. It's like, what did you do wrong to get COVID? Or like, what did China do wrong in to bring this upon themselves? And that I heard that in the beginning and I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? So I know you might, everyone has different opinions on that, but I became very attuned to the religious kind of ways that people were trying to understand it, which weren't all bad, but those are the bad ones I remember, of course, because I'm human.
It can fall into dangerous territory.
I think we tend to see things black or white. And even as Christians, we tend to see things black or white. And I guess the only thing that is black and white is God is good. And Satan is not. That's the only black and white. But everything in between is a gray area of brokenness and grace. So you can't just say that COVID is a judgment because it kind of brought it on ourselves too, you know. So yeah, there's always going to be temptation. There's always going to be hardships, but there's also good things. You can have lows without, you can have highs without lows, right? The old saying.
Allie wisdom.
Allie wisdom.
Hashtag. People used to do that, like hashtag blah blah blah, hashtag this.
People
still do that.
There was a skit. Allie. There was a skit about it on some late night show. I don't remember. I don't remember the name, so I forgot his name. But
thank you.
Some late night show.
Some guy on some show had
the late night show. It's one of the many late night shows.
One of the many late night shows. I think it's late. Oh, is it?
Late night with.
Speaking of late night shows, to incorporate that into our COVID discussion, did you guys ever watch the Good News Show or Good News?
I thought you were going to ask if we binged any shows during COVID, to which we're
Yes, I still do. Yes.
That'll be my next question. But there was a show, this guy from The Office.
No, I don't. Which guy?
I don't know.
Here's Jim again. The guy who played Jim.
Oh, John Krasinski.
Yes, he had this YouTube show for a short while when COVID began. It was like the Good News Show or something. He talked about like good things that had happened. It was the most heartwarming thing.
Oh, yes. I watched that. I love that. I love a Good News Show. It was really good.
I don't know.
It's cute. You should watch it. There was a funny like animated YouTube channel where there was like, oh, if Google was a person.
Oh, if Google was a person, I think I watched some of that.
They did like a COVID version where like a bunch of people would just like walk in and ask questions this guy sitting in like this office type of thing. Anyways.
What shows did you binge? Go.
Oh my God, too many.
A lot.
Everything. I remember though, when I was in quarantine here for the first time, I was watching Kuejo, Save Me, or I think it's in English, and is a sinister show about some realities in the Christian world in Korea, some churches that are not really churches. That's all I'm gonna say.
So cults.
Cults, yes. It was really sinister watching it as a Christian. I don't know how it is watching it as a non-Christian, but it was pretty, it was like a horror movie for Christians.
It was a movie or was it a drama?
It's a series, sorry, a series. I watched it on Netflix. I think it's still there. That and It's Okay Not to Be Okay.
Yeah, I watched a lot of stuff during COVID, but I don't remember any of them. It's been a long time since I've watched, since I binge a show.
I binge watch every day. Almost, not every day. Almost every day. Every week, let's say every week, not every day. Every day is not really realistic.
I mean, since I was already talking about it, I binged another video game playthrough of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Anyway,
oh,
nice! In there. You really like that game, huh?
I like good stories, and I like slow pacing, which is why I like Korean dramas, because usually they have a pretty slow pace, and then I've always enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But I like the slow pacing and the really cool action. It's just really nice. So Final Fantasy plug.
Talking about games, I recently watched the first half of the last season. That sounds so bad. The first half of the last season of The Witcher.
Oh.
Because it's based on a novel, which is... It's based on a game, which is based on a novel. I mean, it's based on both. And I remember watching someone play that game, and it was a really interesting story. I mean, it is based on a novel, so of course it has a good story.
Mm-hmm.
But the game was also really good. If you don't know The Witcher, The Witcher was created to fight creatures. So he knows everything about creatures and all these things that are created with chaos. Chaos is something that came from a different dimension.
It has nothing to do with witches?
No.
Oh.
No witches.
Sad.
Judy, did you think of anything you binged?
I watched the High School Musical series.
What?
On Disney Plus. At first, I thought it was like really cringe, and then I got really into it, and I realized it's like the most wholesome thing on TV with like actual teenagers.
Oh. Is it better than the movies?
I can't really compare. The movies are too classic.
Yeah, they're in a different category. We're soaring, flying.
They both did stay true to the wholesome theme.
I have a last question about what lasting affects your memories or emotions. Like, how do you think COVID will affect you or has affected you going forth?
Well, it's already affected me. Actually, Zoom calls have become like a nightmare.
They also became a norm.
I know. And then after it stopped being a norm, I was like, I'm really tired of like virtual, just I guess seeing people virtually. So it was really hard. It's been hard to stay in contact with long distance friends.
It was really a nightmare because COVID came when I was at my last semester of master's degree. And also when I came to Korea.
Yeah.
And my first semester here at WEDE was also online. So I was done with Zoom calls. Zoom, WebEx call, whatever. Google Meets, everything. Yeah. I've been through everything. So, but I still have Zoom meetings. Because it's just easy. I think it's easier to gather people together. Everything is just so busy. At least here in Korea.
Yeah.
Everyone has so many things to do. And
yeah.
I think Zoom calls are easy.
It is easy, but I realize I am the kind of person who, like, I've had a lot of moves and a lot of long-distance friendships, and it's really hard to keep up with them. And I realize, like, I'm the kind of person who likes to focus on people who are like, in my life in this season, like, in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Why, Leslie, I'm so excited you're coming back, because I really miss you.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be—it's just gonna be so much nicer having you in person.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe we can even record in person.
That, I would love that.
Just to try it.
You know what I was thinking, guys, that we could do? I actually thought about it because I'm so excited. I forgot Leslie to come. We can rent like one of those recording rooms.
Oh, if we do, we could even video record. Do look all fancy.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing that was good from the pandemic is realizing the importance of human connection and proximity too,
like physical proximity.
Yes,
because
I that was also through COVID, but also by moving here because I'm far away from my hometown friends and
yes.
I say hometown, but it's big city. Mm-hmm. Hometown friends and family, but I also see this in church, like our church Jubilee is very much focused on community nowadays because we saw that through COVID, that sense of community kind of dissipated because we couldn't keep up with each other.
Yeah.
So I think that was a good thing that came out of this.
Oh, I didn't realize how much I needed people. I realized it, but I didn't experience it. And now I know I really need people. And it's hard for me to be alone now.
I think we should probably wrap up. Do we have any closing thoughts?
I will just close with physical proximity. Human connection. I think that's...
Woo!
I'm sad that the pandemic happened and everything that came with it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad for this one aspect of human connection that it made me realize that it's important.
Yeah, too.
It also made me appreciate the people in my life and to want to be more invested and more intentional.
That is true.
Okay, guys. This is the outro. Thank you guys for another amazing conversation, and we are so happy, me and Leslie, to have Judy back.
Yay.
Her mini sabbatical of 2 months. That is it for this episode. Be sure to check out Instagram and all the platforms. Until next time, this was Ellie,
Leslie,
Judy.
Bye bye. Welcome to another episode of Mixed Coffee. We are Ali,
Leslie.
Am I next? Judy. It's been so long. I forgot the order. Was it? It has.
Okay, let's do it again.
Maybe I was supposed to go third, but I got excited. No, it's funny.